October 4th, 1991. In the House of Corrections, most inmates had several names. If the laws found out you had a record, there was less chance to walk a beef or get bail. So when perps were arrested, they tended to forget what Mama had called them. Usually guys had been cooling for weeks before the identification division in McGrath Hall compared 10-card fingerprint records from booking with what was on file and figured out who was who. Unfortunately for Collins Farwell, he had matched early. Although he had checked in as Congo Fannin, by the time Muriel got Larry's call, the jail had Collins' given name. She was trying a bank robbery case, but she agreed to meet Larry at the jail after court. And when she arrived, he was waiting for her on one of the granite blocks that served as a bench in the lobby. His large blue eyes lingered as she approached. "Looking pretty spiffy," Larry told her. She was dressed for trial in a red suit, wearing a little more makeup than when she was in the office pushing files. She asked what was up, and Larry offered a more elaborate version than he had on the telephone of what Erno had told him yesterday. "I think Collins is the average jailhouse piece of shit," Larry said, "but I got an hour if you do." In the administrative office, Larry asked the officer on duty to bring Farwell down to an interview room, saying only that they had to question him concerning a murder. The duty officer took Larry and Muriel to a small interview room. They sat in plastic swivel chairs, which, like the small table between them, was fixed to the floor with heavy hex bolts. "So how's Talmadge?" Larry's eyes angled away promptly, as if he regretted the remark once it was out. "You know, Larry, I never figured you was jealous. I'm seeing the man. We have a nice time.
And you're not seeing me."
Somehow Larry, who lived on his instincts, knew something was up. 2 nights ago, as Talmadge was leaving her place, he had pressed her head to his chest and said, "Maybe we should start thinking about making this permanent." She had recognized all along this was where they were headed, but a palsy had shaken her anyhow. In her own way, she'd been working hard since then not to think of what he had said, meaning at bottom she'd thought of nothing else. It felt as if she were looking down into the Grand Canyon. Somehow, her first marriage, which was rarely even a topic of reflection, was in the dangerous distance below. She'd married at 19 when the dumb things people did were legion, and when she believed she was getting a prize. Rod had been her high school English teacher, caustic and bright, and still unmarried at the age of 42. It had not even occurred to her to wonder why. She'd pursued him, and her parents were horrified when she announced their wedding. In time, of course, Rod's charm had worn thin. Well, that was not really true. He remained one of the most devastatingly funny humans she'd known, the wise guy drunk at the end of the bar who got off the best lines in English comedies. He was probably gay, but too cowardly to face it. Certainly his interest in sex with her had not seemed to last much beyond their engagement. By the third year of their marriage, his sexual disinterest had led her to other men. Rod knew, and did not seem to care. In fact, he went to pieces whenever she mentioned divorce. He could not face his mother with that. She was a severe, bloodless, upper-class type whom he should have told to fuck off ages ago. Instead, he allowed her to judge until the day he died. The cause was a coronary, which the early deaths of his father and grandfather had long presaged. Having married a man old enough to be your father, you look back and say, "I had issues." With Larry, however, she was determined to appear resolute. "I can't believe Talmadge is such a big deal to you," she said.
"I don't know," he answered. "It looks like I'm on the loose."
He was getting divorced, he said, and seemed to mean it this time. Nancy and he had gone to a lawyer together, a woman who'd first tried to talk them into sticking it out. There were no problems with property. The only issue was his boys. Nancy was too attached to leave them, and had actually proposed getting custody. But Larry had 86 that. For the time being, they were stalemated, but figured to settle eventually. They both wanted out.